Trinity Lutheran Church in Hoyleton. Thanks for joining us for service today. I hope you enjoy.
Please stand. Good morning. Welcome to worship here at Trinity Lutheran Church in Hoyleton, Illinois. My name is Pastor Nate Wallenberg. Welcome to all of you who are watching this at home as well. Today is the third Sunday after Epiphany, but today is also a special day on the calendar of the church year. On January 24th, we have an opportunity to celebrate St. Timothy's Day. And there's a little bit of a write-up there in the beginning of your bulletin. St. Timothy, of course, known for being a really important figure of the New Testament, a pastor, companion of St. Paul. And, of course, Timothy, being a pastor, it's a great day in the Epiphany season to celebrate a pastor's work, because that's what pastors do. They reveal Jesus to us through the Word, through the sacraments. And that's what the Epiphany season is all about, too. So we're going to have an opportunity to learn a little bit more about Timothy today through the readings and through the hymns that we sing, and looking forward to doing that together with all of you. Our worship service today is going to follow Divine Service Setting 3, and it's all printed there for you in the bulletin. We begin with our invocation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office, as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue now with the words of the introit, which we speak responsively. Fight the good fight of the faith.
Take hold of
the eternal life to which you are called. I will sing of the steadfast love of the Lord forever. Let the heavens praise your wonders, O Lord. Blessed are the people who know the festal shout, who exult in your name all the day. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Fight the good fight of the faith. Glory be to God on high. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together the collect of the day. We pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you have always given to your church on earth faithful shepherds such as Timothy to guide and feed your flock. Make all pastors diligent to preach your holy word and administer your means of grace, and grant your people wisdom to follow in the way that leads to life eternal. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the reading of God's word. The first reading appointed for the festival of St. Timothy is from the book of Acts, chapter 16, beginning with verse 1. Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they went on their way through the cities, they delivered to them for observance the decisions that had been reached by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith, and they increased in numbers daily. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We speak the words of the gradual. Behold, I will search for my sheep and will seek them out. I will set a shepherd over them who will care for them. The epistle reading today is from St. Paul's first letter to St. Timothy, chapter 6, beginning with verse 11. But as for you, O man of God, flee these things, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, to keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will display at the proper time. He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 24th chapter. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his master has set over his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly, I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Having heard the word of God, we now join together, along with millions of Christians around the world, speaking our common Christian faith. And this morning, we use the words of the Apostles' Creed. We confess together, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. For our sermon hymn today, we will be singing By All Your Saints in Warfare, and just take note that the second verse is actually verse 11. It's the one that has to do specifically with the ministry of both St. Timothy and St. Titus. Please stand. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. The text for the sermon today for St. Timothy's Day is from the first reading from Acts chapter 16. And this reading is chosen for St. Timothy's Day because in it, we learn about what it was like when Timothy was called into ministry to be one of Paul's companions. And we also learn a little bit in this passage about Timothy's family history, how he came from really a mixed family. His mom's side and his dad's side were completely different and would have had completely different worldviews. But we see how throughout the rest of Timothy's life, God used that for the betterment of his kingdom. He gave Timothy lots of opportunities to preach and teach in both of those worlds. And I think we see the same kind of thing happen to us too. We all live in lots of different worlds, some of them simultaneously, and God is always giving us these opportunities to bring Jesus with us into those worlds for the expansion and the strengthening of his heavenly kingdom. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the story of my life so far can really be broken down into very well-defined chapters. And those chapters are mostly defined by the places where I lived in each of those different chapters of the story. So, you know, I've moved around a lot in my life, and it seems like every different chapter, every different place is filled with its own unique cast of characters, right? And so you could almost say that it's almost like I've lived in different worlds, different kinds of worlds all throughout the years of my life. So I grew up in Connecticut. I've got this Connecticut New England world that's part of my history, right? There's a specific cast of characters that are back home, you know? My family, my childhood friends, my friends from high school, different experiences. Then I've got a Wisconsin world, which is where I went to college for 4 years. I've got certain friends that I know specifically from that world. I've got a seminary world, which took place at the time in St. Louis, but of course, most of the people that I knew in seminary have now moved on. We're all serving congregations all over the country, right? So you have that kind of unique world. I have a vicarage world in Cape Girardeau, Missouri, and some of the characters that make up that world remain really good friends of ours, even though we only spent 1 year there. I've got a Texas world. I've got a lot of characters in that world who watched me sort of stumble and struggle through my first few years of pastoral ministry. And now I've got my Hoyleton world. I've got my Southern Illinois world. And I've definitely got a cast of characters here as well. So in my mind, all of these different worlds sort of exist in different parts of my brain. And for the most part, each world doesn't really cross over into any of the other ones. I don't know if that's a normal way to think about it, but that's just kind of how my brain works. It's very rare that those worlds would collide in any way. So it's kind of interesting because what it means is that when I'm having a conversation with one of those characters from one of those other worlds, it's almost like I've got to step back into that world in order to communicate with them. Right? It's like I've got to go back in time and try to put my brain back to what were the circumstances back when we all knew each other really well and spent all of our time together. Right? So it's like the Hoyleton Nate goes away temporarily, and what comes back is Texas Nate or Seminary Nate or whoever I'm interacting with. And it's not like I was a completely different person in those days, but you have a different way of talking with people who live in those different worlds, right? You have different stories, different experiences, different inside jokes, right? The whole language of life changes depending on what world you're in, depending on who you're interacting with. So for me, it's really jarring then on those rare occasions when those worlds do collide. When every once in a while, a character from one world ends up in another world. And it's like, how did we get there? Now, this has been happening a little bit more often on a small scale recently, ever since we've been in this time of global pandemic and we started broadcasting our worship services online. So any given Sunday, I know, like right now, there are people from various worlds watching this worship service, listening to me preach this sermon. I've got probably my family back home in Connecticut. Hi, Mom. I've got people from Wisconsin, people from Texas. They're all tuning in. And if you look at the Facebook comment thread, under any one of our videos. You've got people from all over the place, from lots of different worlds, tuning in any given Sunday. But it's even more jarring when it's like on a personal level, right? So I remember specifically how kind of jarring it was when Katie found out that her Hoyleton world was colliding with a world from childhood when she found out that she and Chad Schnicker had the same third grade teacher. Go figure that one out. Or 4 years ago, for me, when I first came to Hoyleton, when we were visiting for the very first time, before we even accepted the call to come here, and we were touring the school for the very first time, and we walk through, and we go to the kindergarten classroom, and we open the door, and what do you know? There's Francie Bailey, who we knew as Francie Bailey before she was Francie Kasten. She was part of my Wisconsin world, my college world. What is she doing here in Hoyleton, right? And so for me, when those kinds of things happen, it's like my whole world just stops for a moment, and my brain has to sort of catch up while I'm trying to process everything, because it's like this character belongs in this other world, right? And I know this kind of thing happens to you guys too. Even if you've only lived in one place your whole life, even if you've been in Hoyleton forever, you've got different worlds that you've lived in. You've got childhood worlds and adulthood worlds. You've got worlds at home and in your family and at work. You've got all of these different worlds that you step into simultaneously. And you've got different characters that belong to different worlds. And you interact with them differently, depending on what world you happen to be in at the time. So, today's January 24th, and the church is celebrating the life and ministry of St. Timothy, and Timothy is probably best known historically as being a companion of St. Paul. But not only was he joining St. Paul on some of his missionary journeys, he was with Paul on his second and third missionary journeys, but Timothy also gets co-authorship credits in 6 out of Paul's 13 epistles. I don't know if you realize that, but Timothy actually wrote a significant chunk of the New Testament. We don't often think about Timothy as a scripture author, but the Holy Spirit definitely used him in that way. And besides the 6 that he co-wrote with Paul, there's, of course, the 2 where he is the named recipient of the letter, right? So Paul wrote 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy to St. Timothy, right? Makes a lot of sense. But the time that Timothy spent with Paul is only one chapter of his life story, right? It's only one world that he lived in. So Timothy also, later on in life, was anointed the bishop of the church in Ephesus, really big city, which meant he was basically the pastor to all of the churches in Asia Minor. He was like the administrator of all of that ministry. Asia Minor is modern-day Turkey. So Timothy was in charge of all of that later in life. That was a different world for him. We look at this text today here in Acts chapter 16. That takes us all the way back to the beginning, to the world that Timothy lived when he was a child, back to where it all got started. And what we learn here is that basically Timothy been living in 2 separate worlds simultaneously from his childhood. And those 2 worlds were really starting to collide with one another at the time that Paul called Timothy into ministry and took him on as a travel companion. So the very first verse of our reading today tells us that Timothy was the son of a Jewish mother who also happened to be a believer in Jesus Christ. So his mother was a Jewish woman who was a Christian. She believed in Jesus. And what we find out later from Paul's second letter to Timothy, we get some extra details there. It wasn't just his mother, Eunice, who taught him the faith, but it was also his grandmother, Lois, who participated in raising Timothy in the faith as well. So from a very early age, Timothy was raised to believe in Jesus Christ, and that faith would have done a lot to mold and shape one of his worlds as a kid. He would have had all of the stories told to him about his Jewish heritage. He would have heard about all of the promises of the Messiah. He would have heard from his believing mother and grandmother about how Jesus Christ fulfilled all of those promises as our true Messiah. All of those things would have come together to shape that world and make up a significant portion of who Timothy was. But on the other hand, we find out that his father probably wasn't really into all of that. Because just like a lot of mixed marriages that we might be familiar with, what happened in Timothy's case is mom and dad were not on the same page spiritually. They didn't agree about what the world was really all about, what our place in the world was. And so the conversations that Timothy would have had with his Greek pagan father would have been very different from the conversations he had with mom and with grandma. And as a result, what ended up happening was you have a second world that's sort of created for Timothy to live in simultaneously. And it's a world that's more shaped by the Greek culture around him and less shaped by the Old Testament and the law and the prophets, right? So all of this is going on together as Timothy grows up. And this is obviously speculation on my part. The Bible doesn't reveal this to us. But I would imagine that there were moments as Timothy was growing up when he would have had that same feeling of worlds colliding, just kind of having to stop and pause, let his brain catch up a little bit, because it would have been kind of jarring to have these two worlds that really are not compatible with one another, and they're colliding for him as a kid. But honestly, what was going on in Timothy's household as a kid was really very similar to what was going on all across the early church in those days. This collision of the Jewish world and the Greek world. And so actually in the chapter right before our text today, so we're in Acts 16, but in one chapter earlier in Acts 15, Luke tells us about this huge controversy that took place in this meeting that we now call the Jerusalem Council. And the big issue at the Jerusalem Council was this argument about whether or not we should have Greek Gentiles become circumcised when they join the church as new believers in Jesus Christ. In other words, were the Greeks allowed to stay Greek, or did they have to become Jewish, essentially, in order to believe in Jesus Christ? And there was a lot of heated debate and a lot of discussion about that. But in the end, where they landed on that issue was basically saying, hey, Jesus came to redeem both worlds. He came to redeem all the people who live in both worlds. So there's no reason why someone should have to leave one world, the Greek world, and join another world just to belong to Jesus. Jesus exists in both worlds. So everyone was, for the most part, pretty much satisfied with that. And then Luke, in the very next chapter, introduces us to Timothy, who is the perfect picture of somebody who lived in both of those worlds. And it does tell us in verse 3 that Paul did go and have him circumcised. It says on behalf of the Jews who lived in those areas who knew that his father was a Greek. Just, it was a mission strategy. It removed one of the potential roadblocks for Timothy preaching to the unbelieving Jews. But when he was speaking in synagogues to unbelieving Jews, he could connect with them. He had that shared experience being raised by a Jewish mom and a grandma, right? He could kind of live in that world with them and communicate with them. When he was with the Greek pagans, he could do the same with them. He could talk about his life growing up as a pagan under his father, right? And of course, Timothy himself wasn't a pagan. He was a believer, but he could kind of communicate and connect with both of these worlds all at the same time. So in Timothy, what you have, and I know this sounds ridiculous and cliche, but it's true. In Timothy, you have the best of both worlds in one person. It's really, really amazing how God works all of that out. But in the end, it's really not a surprise, because Timothy, before belonging to either of these worlds, belonged to Jesus Christ. And this is what Jesus does. Not just for Timothy, but for all of us. Jesus transcends all of these worlds that we belong to, and he breaks down the barriers that separate them. And really, Jesus becomes the common thread between all of these worlds and between all of these experiences that we have. So we can, in our head, try to compartmentalize all of our different, you know, friend circles and inside jokes and keep these over here and these over here, but we can't compartmentalize Jesus. And there isn't a single corner of our life where Jesus could possibly be excluded. Right? We can't have a part of us that's not Christian. That's not how it works. Right? We can't say, hey, I'm going to be a Christian when I come to church and when I'm with my Christian friends, but I'm going to be more like the rest of the world when I go and do other things, like when I go and hang out at the bar or when I go to work or go to school. I don't have to be a Christian then. No, it doesn't work that way. You carry your faith with you every single place you go. And you represent Jesus and his church to other people everywhere you go. Now, how you show that faith and how you have those conversations might be slightly different depending on who you're talking to, but it's not like your faith is just like a light switch that you can turn on and off whenever you want to. It doesn't work that way. It's a really good thing, too. Right? I mean, it's obviously a wonderful thing that Jesus has come into our world to redeem not just a part of us, but our whole being, our whole person. Not just the corner of us that comes to church and worships with like-minded people, but all of us. Jesus comes to redeem it all. We can get a lot of inspiration from St. Timothy's life story from this moment here in Acts chapter 16 until the day that he died. Timothy took Jesus with him into every one of those worlds. He took Jesus with him into people's homes and into Jewish synagogues and into the middle of the city of Ephesus, which was as pagan as it comes back then. Timothy took Jesus everywhere, but it's not about Timothy, right? It's about Jesus. It's about the one who broke into our world with his incarnation, with his love and his mercy, with his death and sacrifice on the cross. It's about Jesus who rose from the dead so that we could live forever. It's about one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one body, one church, perfectly united in him, even though we all have these different worlds that we might be belonging to. It's about our whole sinful world colliding with his heavenly kingdom, which, thanks be to God, doesn't bring God down to our level, but it elevates us up to him and fixes everything that's broken here and cleanses everything that's tainted and seeks out everything that has been lost. That's the world, that's the heavenly kingdom that we belong to now. That's the world that by God's grace and mercy we are going to belong to forever and ever. There's a lot of different characters in all of these different chapters of our life story. And there's lots of these different worlds that we move in and out of constantly. And I'm guessing that some of those characters in some of those worlds are not necessarily expecting Jesus to show up when you do. But if you show up, and I show up, then guess what? Jesus shows up too. He goes where we go. And so just like St. Timothy, my prayer is that we would embrace that. That we would look forward to these opportunities to take Jesus along with us into those times and those places where worlds collide. In his name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We have a number of updates to our prayer list that I'll share with you briefly here. Under hospitalized today, we are going to be lifting in prayer Jim Menner, who had knee surgery a little over a week ago. Since then, he's struggled with a few different issues in his recovery. He's currently hospitalized in Mattoon. Seems to be improving slightly, but does have a ways to go. So please keep him in your personal prayers. We will be thanking God today for the birth of both Henry Isaiah Unverfurt, newborn son of Tyler and Joanna. And also, this is not in your bulletin, but we heard about the birth of Marcella Rose Malik, who is the newborn daughter of Nick and Kelsey Malik, and little Marcy was born on Friday. Thanks be to God. We will be also lifting up the families of those who have recently passed away. Robert Thorson, who passed away last week, early in the morning, last Monday. He will actually be having a visitation today, this afternoon, and then the funeral will be here tomorrow morning. We'll also be lifting up the family of Leola Michael. She was the wife of the late Leroy Michael. She passed away in Missouri, and she was laid to rest in our cemetery here at church this past Friday. Also received word before the service today that Bernice Hari passed away this morning. She was the aunt of the Newhouse family. So we'll be lifting up all of those families and their friends in prayer. Please stand. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord God, Heavenly Father, you desire not the death of a sinner, but that all would repent and believe the gospel. In the epiphany of your Son, your time of salvation and your kingdom have come near. As this world passes, urgency to your church to proclaim the gospel of our God to all people. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of the harvest, as you called Simon Peter and Andrew, James and John to follow you and made them fishers of men, and as you called your servant Timothy into ministry to bring the good news to both Jews and Greeks, so send faithful preachers of your gospel in our time. Increase the spirit of generosity to all who support the missionaries, seminaries, colleges, and other institutions of our church for the spread of the gospel and the service of the church. And bless the efforts of our partners in mission and ministry, including Pastor Joel Fritchie in the Dominican Republic, and also our sister congregation, St. Peter Lutheran in New Memphis, and their pastor, Art Eichhorn. Lord, in your mercy. Eternal Lord, in view of every current distress, as the present form of this world passes away, give constancy and contentment to your people in their God-given stations and vocations. Give comfort and faithfulness to the married. Strengthen them to pass on the faith to the next generation. Show kindness also to all parents and children. And today we especially praise your name for the birth of Henry Isaiah Unverfurt and also Marcella Rose Malik. We ask that you would watch over them and their parents as we look forward to the day when they will become yours by water and the word in holy baptism. We also thank and praise you and lift before you those who are celebrating birthdays this week, including Tegan, Marilyn, Jeannie, Braxton, Dale, Steve, Wilfred, Jacob, and Atlee. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, preserve our nation with its rulers. Call to repentance those who have forgotten you. Be with Joe Biden, our president, J.B. Pritzker, our governor, and all who serve for the good of the people of this land. Do not let disaster befall us, but preserve us in peace and quietness, and guide and protect all who serve in the armed forces, including Michael, Daniel, Brett, Jesse, Chase, Isaac, Patty, Robert, Austin, Cody, Ward, Caitlin, Colby, Eric, Daniel, Joyce, Tanya, Shaylin, and Alex. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Father, turn us from every distracting anxiety and the dealings of this world that would draw our hearts away from your blessed gospel and its end, which is eternal life. Give us confidence in the resurrection and the peace of a clean conscience by the forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name. Graciously behold and help those for whom we pray, especially those who are on our prayer list, including those who are currently in care facilities, Lorna, Thretta, Ferris, Bill, Helen, Esther, Bessie, Brian, and Betty. We lift before you those who are hospitalized, especially Linda and Jim, and all those with ongoing health needs and concerns, including Norma, Karen, Laverne, Cheryl, Amy, Sam, Ronnie, Beulah, Alma, Carlene, Richard, Teddy, Verdell, Leon, Marvin, Daryl, Todd, Matthew, Jean, all those who are fighting cancer, and all those who have been affected by the coronavirus pandemic. We also ask you to comfort those who mourn, especially the family and friends of Bob Thorson, Leola Michael, and Bernice Hari. Remind them of your great love and the promises of the resurrection. Lord, in your mercy, all these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again, and now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Just a reminder that if you brought a tithe or offering today, that you can place that in the basket, which is on the table in the narthex. We will sing an offertory hymn at this time, which is Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise. Please stand.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass.
blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. You may be seated. The closing hymn today is "We Sing for All the Unsung Saints." At this time, we will dismiss our Sunday school students and teachers, if you'd make your way on over to the school building. Good morning. Just have a couple things to bring to your attention before we leave today. I mentioned in the prayer of the church that Bob Thorson's funeral is tomorrow, and I wanted to give you some more details about those arrangements. So the visitation is this afternoon. It's from 3 to 6 o'clock today at Steininger Funeral Home in Nashville. And so then tomorrow morning, The funeral will be at 11 o'clock here at Trinity, right here in the sanctuary. If you'd like to come and participate in visitation before that, that will take place starting at 10 o'clock. So 3 to 6 today in Nashville, 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, and funeral at 11. There is going to be a reception luncheon after the funeral is over with. I was asked if any of you would be able to provide some food items. I know that the Ladies' Aid Food Committee is still in need of some things, and they need all different kinds of things. So if you're interested in helping to provide some of that food, would you please contact Aggie Baining? She's been the one that's been sort of organizing everything for this. We really appreciate it. A few other things to mention. We have Bible study that continues on Tuesday evening here in the sanctuary at 7 o'clock. We're going to be finishing up the epistle of 1 John this week. Also, we have the annual voters meeting coming up 1 week from today. So on January 31st, we would love for all of our voting members to come and join us 1 o'clock here in the sanctuary that afternoon. And along with that, there's a thank you in the bulletin today for all of you who provided your reports and got them in on time. Those annual reports were mailed out on Wednesday, so if you haven't gotten that already, you should be getting it soon. I know the mail is a little unpredictable these days, but we're hoping everybody will get the information that they need. For those of you who this applies to, the agenda meeting will take place this coming Thursday at 7 o'clock. We'll do that in the 7th and 8th grade classroom. Just another couple quick things to mention. PTL had a meeting, and there's a few announcements related to the PTL in the bulletin today. They are planning on having a wine and beer tasting this year, looking like it's going to be on April 17th. Obviously, things might change between now and then. Everything these days is subject to change. But the reason why we're bringing it up now is not only can you put that on your calendar, but we're also in need of some auction items, which is going to take place no matter what. So we need to get those together. If you could please let us know. If you want to donate anything, just contact the school office. You can drop things off there as well. There's also a PTL fundraiser going on. Those of you who are on Facebook, you've probably seen it's been all over Facebook. Everybody's excited that we're selling kettle corn. So if you would like to order some, just contact any one of our students or teachers or just let us know in the office. But we're taking orders for that kettle corn up until February 5th. This is National Lutheran Schools Week, kicking off tomorrow. Unfortunately, it's going to look different than it has in years past. There's not as many things that we can do because of COVID, but we are going to have different dress-up days, and we're going to celebrate our school ministry this week. Some of those events that you might be used to, like the teacher breakfast, Parents and Grandparents Day, that's not really going to happen the way that it has in the past, unfortunately. But we are looking forward to celebrating our school ministry this week. Are there any other announcements that I might have missed or anything that anybody wants to bring up? Okay, if not, have a wonderful week in the Lord. Go in peace, serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Have a blessed week.